Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, hour number two. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Now, at the NBA draft tonight, all sorts of intrigue. We'll get back to it. 855-212-4227. As we sit here inside our Quicken Loan Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. At Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, every single day.
BT, how hard do you think it's going to be for Lionel Messi to go home? Argentina is 0-1-1 now.
What is he, like 0 for 12, 0 for 13 on shots?
He is 0 for 12.
I mean, what is
and only three of them have been on target. That's the problem.
But what is the sporting equivalent of that? Like, I mean, would that be like?
You mean like the main, our mainstream?
Yeah, like
sports
a mainstream.
Equivalent.
Would that be like, I don't know, the best hockey goalie giving up six goals a night in the Stanley Cup Finals, or what is the comparison?
Or it's like Alexander Ovechkin just completely missing shots on goal. Like I'm gonna take 12 shots in two games. I'm completely missing.
Yeah, that's a better way to look
right?
at it. Yeah.
Or they flip up into the stands and I get three on target, but they're right at the goalie.
Oh.
Not going five hole, not doing anything. They're right at the goalie. Easy hitting glove, whatever. It's bad, man.
Yeah.
Especially because he's had so many failures on the international stage, and you can contrast him with Ronaldo, who's been amazing.
He's got four so far.
Four. They've scored four goals. Portugal.
He's so efficient too. It's like he's only missed like three or four shots. I think it is.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I've been obviously laid up in bed the last couple of days, a little bit glazed over with with some of the meds just to get through the surgery. But I've kept it on in spurts. I know you're into this. You're into it a little bit more than I am for sure. But I heard this morning that, if I had this right, there's been five self-goals?
Own
goals.
Yeah.
And there's still like 35 or 40 games to go, which is tied for most ever.
Most all time.
In a World Cup. So it's five own goals. That's amazing.
Yeah, Senegal had one in their favor. Senegal got away. I mean, they beat Colombia, which is the first. Japan was the first Asian team to beat a South American team when they beat Colombia. But Senegal, when they won, they had an own goal, and then they kind of cheated because the kid was banged up. So he was on the sideline getting treatment. Mm-hmm. The ref let him come back in, right? All right, you can go back in. It was right when a defender was passing the ball to the goalie.
Uh-huh.
So he ran and intercepted it, jumped over the goalie, scored an easy goal. It was they won, but it was good for them. But it was kind
of. Is there any sort of, because I know like in baseball, if there's a real egregious oversight of a rule, you can.
Yeah, they do actually, because I saw it happen a couple of times with penalties in the box.
Uh-huh.
If they miss it, they'll call and stop play and then go review it.
Once the game expires, there's no...
No, once it has to happen like in a minute or so period.
So you can't protest and try to get something done.
Yeah. I don't know what the mechanism is to get that review, but I've seen a couple of reviews where they've turned non-calls into calls that have resulted in, goals or advantageous positioning for one of the teams or other. It's interesting, this World Cup this year, because there's so many upsets.
By the way, what was your take on Donovan rooting for Mexico?
Oh,
that's the day that I had surgery.
It was terrible.
I didn't even go on social media that day.
It's interesting because coming up in our next segment, we're going to have Mariano Trujillo, who is a Fox broadcaster for soccer analyst, who's Mexican. And so it was bad. It was poorly positioned. If it would have felt organic, you know what I mean? If this would have felt like.
But how could that possibly feel organic?
Because he's like, you know what, our name. If he himself, without being sponsored by somebody and being paid to do this, the reason it feels dirty.
Cheap
is because he's paid to do it. If he would just been like, yeah, Mexico's our southern neighbor, we're not in it, but I play down for CONCACAF down there, and I think it would be fantastic if we just root for Mexico, and it was just organic, we would have said, okay, cool, yeah, get a couple retweets, it'd be great. Instead, because he's like, you know, this bank is paying me to for us to cheer for Russia or cheer for Mexico. Let's cheer for. It just felt cheap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
organic.
Mm-hmm.
You can see through those things these days. We're too savvy in social media anymore. So he got crushed.
Yeah, I know he got crushed. I did. I wound up going. I caught up on that a couple of days yeah. after. I know he got crushed pretty hard. All right, Teak. We'll get back to the NBA draft a little bit. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff happening tonight, and there's a lot of players with great intrigue and great mm-hmm. storylines. We basically did the first hour on the hoops there. But let's get to this story. Brett Favre, the Warrior, a buddy Brett, who was just a beast. What, yeah. 321 straight games,
oh, ridiculous.
20 years, made of iron.
Yeah.
Probably going to suffer down the road.
Yeah, if said he had thousands of concussions he had over the years. Think about that.
That's frightening.
It is.
Thousands.
Well.
Little ones, but still, it's a concussion.
The micro concussion.
Mm-hmm.
His take now, and I don't know how anybody can just universally dismiss this without some sort of a conversation. Brett Favre wants to end youth tackle football before the age of 12.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
And I got to tell you, while there is, you know, some details, which you and I can certainly get into mm-hmm. here, on the surface, sign me up.
Yeah, no, look.
Who the heck would oppose that?
It's not necessary for 9-year-olds to run into each other and tackle each other. And here's the reason. You haven't seen it yet because your son is too young, but I've had two older sons that played at that level.
Yep.
The contact is, it's not real. Like, they're scared to hit anyways. And so they just kind of run into each other, like body into each other, and yeah. it's like slow tackling, and it is what it is. But what happens if there's a kid that's just big? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just bigger than everybody else, and he's mean, and he likes to hit, and he starts just banging into these kids, these vulnerable kids who don't know what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
And their necks are too weak, because that's the big issue, right? That's why soccer has eliminated for youth athletics as well, heading the ball, because
yep.
your neck's not strong enough to support your head as you bang into a moving object. So the same thing happens in football. You get hit, your neck's not strong enough to stop your head from whipping around, and you get concussions.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that age, while your brain is still developing and your synapses are still connecting, it's extraordinarily dangerous. And here's the thing, and we've seen it so many times, BT. How many football stories have we seen guys make it into the NFL? Yeah, I picked up football at 11th grade.
Yes.
You know, I didn't really even play.
Defensive ends who were just supreme athletes.
Exactly.
I was
a basketball player.
I ran track. I played hoops.
All
small
that
forward.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's important at a certain age,
mm-hmm.
13 sounds good, to start learning the toughness that comes with football. Like, mm-hmm. the pounding, the physical hitting, you know, can I, you know, get beat up for a day and then get up the next day and still go practice and mm-hmm. play and do all those things.
And the mechanics of delivering
yeah,
the hit.
Yeah, of course, because that's how you get, that's how it gets weeded out, right? That's how the I hate to say it, but the weak get weeded out of the game is they just can't handle the physical nature of it. So that needs to happen at some point, but it shouldn't be happening before 12 years old because there's so many dangers that come from getting concussions that young.
Yeah.
You're 12 years old and you're getting concussions. And some of them, because they don't have medical professionals in some of these neighborhoods, it's probably repeated head trauma at 12 years old. It's extraordinarily dangerous.
I think that there's certain guidelines, you know, just as a broad, you know, like a broad look at sport and that age group. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could take every sport and I could say that, and I don't know, you started to see implementation with a lot of this, but to me, this is so basic that there should be absolutely no wiggle room. Like, you know, throwing curves and sliders
no doubt.
At the age of 9 or 10 or yep. 11 is really, it's just reckless. It's irresponsible.
Agreed.
You know,
it's not going to be effective anyway.
It's not going to be effective. It's going to be the collateral damage will be felt more so than, you know, you winning a championship, because the ball just doesn't break because you can't generate that kind of torque at the age of 11
or
12.
You can't throw fast enough.
You can't throw. All you have to do is really, and hitting, and the science of hitting and the art of pitching is really the variation in velocity. And that's why the changeup has always been the most effective pitch.
Right.
If you can throw a 90, even if you just throw a 90-mile-per-hour fastball on the black and you come back and you throw 79, 11 miles per hour slower, you're not throwing 98, but that 79 seems like 82 or 84, and that 90 feels like 95. So kids shouldn't throw curves. I would, and I know they're starting to do this, like basketball. And we talked about how, like, when young, just, and I used to shoot underhand my free throws. you know, when you can't, you just don't have the strength to reach the rim.
Yeah, if you got to use all momentum.
Lower the rim.
Yeah.
I mean, let kids learn how to shoot properly.
You're right.
You know, and actually get that flick. And the same with football.
Yeah.
There's no need to hit each other. I don't know how youth hockey is set up exactly. I'm going to kind of stay in my lane
yeah,
there.
Yeah, me too. I don't know anyone that played it. And I would be speaking out of school if I talked about hockey.
Me too. But I know fighting is obviously out of the game.
Yeah.
And cross-check and certain things are no go.
Yeah.
But you got to keep the kids safe.
Hockey's a skill game more than anything, especially at a young age. You just got to learn how to skate. You learn how to, like... use your stick on ice and not fall over, you know, without
which is not easy. It.
Not easy at all. But the question, I think, that the follow question, BT, is does this hurt the NFL? If states should say this, and there have been a couple of states that I think are thinking about this, Brett Favre wants this to be federally mandated. It'll never be federally mandated because this is clearly a state's rights issue. But if states should start to do this, the question becomes, does this affect the NFL? Does the NFL suffer because less kids are playing contact football? Now, we've already seen the attrition, right? It's down 19% over the last eight or 9 years or so.
Talking about youth football
football between 6 and 17, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's down 19%. I actually think this helps with some of that because parents now will say, okay, Johnny, you want to go play football. Great, you're playing flag football. You're not going to get hurt. I mean, maybe you'll strain your hamstring. At worst, you'll sprain a ligament in a joint or something,
sure.
In an ankle.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get a head trauma. You're going to find out whether or not you like the game. You're going to
mm-hmm.
learn the skills like in a specific and in a fine-tuned way because it's not about contact, right? You're going to learn the skills of the game, and moms and dads are going to say, all right, I can get down with this,
mm-hmm.
right? I want my kid to do this. It's something diverse sports-wise that they can do, and I know they're not going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't have to worry about concussions. Now, a concussion could obviously always happen.
Sure.
Right? You just fall down and
you
bang
die
your
for
head.
A catch,
yeah,
on the turf, whatever.
But I think this
take
helps.
Take a knee to the head.
Yeah, which it happens in soccer.
Yep.
Right? It happens in basketball.
Happens at second base. Try to steal second base.
Exactly.
You know, try to go in and head first.
Right.
Catch
right.
and throw comes in for the catcher. Knee hits the bag.
I think this actually can reverse that trend of parents saying, now my son's not playing football.
I agree that it could spike and reignite participation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would further, like, residually alter the ferocity of the sport,
no
which
doubt.
Will be a turnoff to a lot of people.
No doubt. You're right.
It'll be a more glorified 7-on-7, more skilled,
right.
more, you know.
A skill game. It becomes a skill game as opposed to a
the meatheads will be, for lack of a better description.
Yeah.
The meatheads will be kind of removed.
Yeah.
I mean, from the game.
But that's.
Offensive line play will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, maybe some people don't care. You know, to a lot of people nowadays, 38, 35 is a highly entertaining game. I like somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Unless, of course,
I like
got this, the over.
I
love
38,
35. I love it.
You mean college football. Go the over. Always.
Some of the overs in the Big 12 this year were like 80.
I know.
I mean,
nuts. And they were getting blown away.
I know. It's like when it's 21-14 with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter and you got the over and it's not raining.
Yeah, you don't even watch
it. You already start counting the money, even though they say don't count money until you actually get it. You're good to go. It's a really, you know, I'll tell you what, I applaud Brett Favre. Brett Favre could just sit in his hunting shed right now and, you know, fish and golf and count his money and be disengaged. He's trying to get back to the football. He doesn't have to do this. Like, his motivation, I believe, is to save kids from a similar fate that he's in the middle
and
of.
And I think you're absolutely right because Brett Favre, and now I know he's promoting something here, but that's beside the point. I think that the fact that he's putting his name behind this and saying, I want the safety for kids, my kids if they were playing, and your kids if they should choose to play football, is something that the NFL needs more of. And states and little league football leagues should truly take to heart. You don't need the pounding.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need it at 12 years old.
Nope.
Or younger than 12 years old. After a while, you have to figure it out. But before 12, you don't need it.
Yeah.
Good call here, Brett.
No doubt. I'm down with this movement. Absolutely. T, coming up, and I'd love to get some tweets on this. A lot of you have young kids,
mm-hmm.
not as young as me necessarily, but maybe in that 8 or 9, 10 range where they're moving toward this age. That obviously would impact it. And you've got decisions to make. Tiki talks about his kids all the time. And They're good athletes, and they played, and you just heard what this man said who played in the NFL. So it's an interesting topic. Hit us up on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. I'd love to know what you think about this. Let's get into this coming up next. Mariano Trujillo is going to join us, Fox Sports soccer analyst. He's live from Russia. World Cup is obviously, you know, all the rage. I mean, it's the World Cup.
Yeah.
So and what about this $10,000 fine for
Mexico, for his country?
We'll get to the bottom of that and get some answers on the early stages of the World Cup. Tiki and Tierney, third hour, by the way, mostly NBA hoops as we get back to the draft here. But World Cup is coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, so I know there's a story out there that Kawhi Leonard already told Pop he's out, that he wants to be dealt here. But a little later, third hour, coming up around 5 Eastern and 2 Pacific. Going to tell you why it's imperative that the Spurs don't flinch despite that position by Kawhi Leonard. They can still do this the right way. We'll lay it out for you. NBA draft tonight, and that's obviously a big story. Not as big on the world stage as the World Cup, which is going on right now. And we are joined, Teague, by Mariano Trujillo, of course, Fox Sports soccer analyst, and he's live in Russia. A million storylines. Mariano, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
Pretty good. Thank you. Obviously amazed because of this Argentinian result in the last game. A lot of pressure under Leo Messi, and I think that's the story of the day and probably the story of the World Cup.
Yeah, tell us about that, because we know how amazing of a EPL player that Messi is. He's one of the best in the world, but why does he continually come up short in these World Cup matches?
Well, he plays with Barcelona, and obviously playing for Barcelona, probably one of the best teams in the world, he has accomplished a lot. But it's not just Leo Messi. They have a strategy. They have a solid plan. They have a lot of players, world-class players, in that team. I think it's not the same thing, or they're not the same scenario when he's playing with Argentina, where they rely a lot on Lionel Messi, and we were able to see that today. It's not easy what he has done with Argentina, taking the team to 3 consecutive finals, 2 in Copa America, 1 in the last World Cup. But little details are the ones that have denied Lionel Messi to get the reward of the big trophy. And I think today was terrible. Was the last situation that probably the fans and Lionel Messi himself are able to support.
Yeah, I just find it amazing because we just wrapped up the NBA Finals, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago or so, Mariano. And LeBron James, you know, on the global stage pertaining to basketball, despite his prolific gifts, this guy gets hammered for everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's very little context applied. You know, his teammates aren't that good or this, the. For the most part, you know, he just, when he loses, he's roundly criticized. And I keep going back to Messi, and it's like, it's such a radical drop. It's not like it's a slight drop off. I mean, what is he, 0 for 12?
Yeah.
12 shots, no goals. I mean.
And missed the free kick.
He's been terrible. Like, it's not even like he's been okay. He's been terrible. Is it psychological? Is he healthy? What? I mean, I just got to ask more directly. What the hell happened to him?
I think it's a little bit of everything. It's different. And I love the example you just mentioned because I think LeBron James and Lionel Messi are under the same amount of pressure. And regardless of the final result, they will be judged. If they win because they didn't do whatever, and if they get the result, oh, yeah, but you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be because they are the best. It's a little bit different in soccer because in basketball, you have time to get the ball, and you can play in a 1v1 situation. In mm-hmm. soccer, when you have Lionel Messi, what you try to do is always play a 2v1 defensively against the best in the world. And you have a lot of ground to cover. So that's fine. You can leave one man by himself because he won't create any trouble. That's what the teams are doing with Lionel Messi. Iceland did it amazingly today. Croatia, with more quality, did it the same way. So it's very hard to Lionel Messi to get the ball and dribble 2 or 3 guys and create an opportunity. That's when you need your teammates to support you. And today Argentina was poor. Was painful to watch, not just the performance, but the body language, the attitude on the field. So I think it's a little bit different, but I understand your point. I think Lionel Messi has to be judged in a different level, and to be honest, after this game, he hasn't delivered.
There you go. It's Mariano Trujillo, of course. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio World Cup, and he's a Fox Sports soccer analyst. Nice to have him on.
Yeah, you know, Mariano, this the biggest upset to date in this World Cup has been your country. They beat the defending champions, Germany. And it's weird. They don't play again until Saturday against Korea. But tell them how important or how big was that victory. I mean, Chucky Lozano had an unbelievable move to get a shot on goal, and obviously went in, and it was 1-0 victory over Germany. How amazing was that for your country?
It was a massive victory. It was probably the biggest victory for Mexico in the World Cup. And it was just one game. You can lose the other two and be out of the group stage.
Yeah.
But the amount of pressure that this Mexican team has had through the whole qualifier process till the World Cup because of different situations, performances, obviously, the coach not being Mexican and being Colombian and using different methodology to try to, put a team together. Fans, former players, former coaches didn't like it at all. So stepping out on the big stage and having that amazing performance and getting the victory, it was a statement. Not just from the coach, but from the players. In different interviews, they were responding and they were answering, "We're here to win the World Cup." And obviously, in Mexico, they were like, "Come on, being realistic, you have Germany, the world champion in your group. Then you have South Korea and Sweden. It's not going to be easy." But the reply was like, "Okay, you can think whatever you want. Our mentality is that one.
Yeah,
we don't know if we're going to get it, but we will fight for it."
Yeah. You know, speaking of Germany here, can you explain the logic behind fining? Now, FIFA, I think it was a $10,000 fine. FIFA fined the Mexican Federation for the chance, the homophobic chance during the match with Germany. I'm all about making sure people comport themselves the right way and being classy, but I'm also about certainly applying the fine where it belongs.
Yeah, they're fans.
Why is the Mexican Federation getting hit with this $10,000? They didn't do anything wrong.
I know, and I agree with you. This is not the first time, and it is hard to explain. I'm Mexican. I grew up in that country, and I understand the meaning of the chant, but bottom line, it is an offensive chant, and you cannot go to another country and do what you do in your country if it's not allowed. So they've been fining the Mexican Federation multiple times, and the next step will be to retire, to get points away from Mexico. So that will affect not just the Federation, but the team itself.
Wow.
I believe, which is really hard to accomplish, that the fans that are screaming or that are chanting at the stadium, they should be removed right away.
And
fine them.
Of course, to me, that's the only, though that would be the proper recourse.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's not a perfect comparison, but like in the United States, if you run on a field, mm-hmm. you have your season ticket revoked. I mean, you get permanently banned from games if you interfere. Maybe it's a little hard to do that with 100,000 people in a stadium to identify exactly who's yelling what. But it just doesn't seem fair. Yeah. I guess is why I was utterly confounded when I heard that, but I get your explanation. I appreciate it.
Hey, Mariano, we saw the Landon Donovan backlash for saying we as Americans are not in as U.S. We didn't make the World Cup, but let's root for Mexico, our southern neighbors. And you know, he's paid to do it. And it got a ton of backlash. And you can comment on that if you want. But the question is, if this was the other way around, you're Mexican, and Mexico hadn't made it, would Mexico root for the United States?
No, that's the only answer I will say. I mean, it's just sports. You know? It doesn't have to be with anything else.
Yep.
Just sports. It's the biggest rivalry here in CONCACAF. So when your rival is playing in the World Cup and you're not, you want them to do very, very, very bad. You want them to lose every single game, 3-0, 5-0, so you can at least laugh. Like, yeah, you win, but you came back really early. Hey, how was Russia? Did you take enough pictures? Because you didn't play at all. You know, I really like that. I think that pumps up the rivalry, and I don't agree with Landon Donovan. I know Landon. I have worked with him. I play against him. And obviously, probably he did it because of different reasons. Obviously, there's the commercial reason, the marketing reason, but I don't believe him. I think deep down, he doesn't like Mexico to win. obviously, in the World Cup.
Yeah, but his wallet got a little bit fatter. Last question before we let you go here, Mariano. who do you like? Besides Mexico, who might be able to move forward now if they beat the Korean Republic, who do you like in this World Cup? Because Germany seems vulnerable. There's been upset after upset after upset. Who do you think is strongest to pull through once we get to the knockout stages and ultimately to the depth of the World Cup?
I haven't seen a team as solid as Germany in the last World Cup. Germany, and this was my point since the beginning, they don't have a killer, a strong forward that can put the ball in the back of the net in the tough moments. And we saw that against Mexico. Spain, a very good team, but again, shaky defensively. So I think this is a very open World Cup. And I won't be surprised if Belgium, which is a team, a very talented team, but with no experience, can take it all. My favorite, even though they didn't get the first victory, it will be Brazil, you know, because I think they're a well-balanced team. They have experience. They have Neymar. And I think Brazil have a big opportunity to take this one home.
Good stuff, Mariano Trujillo. We got to get those L's to sound like Y's. You know what I'm saying? Those L's have to sound like Y's.
You did it perfectly.
That's right.
That was pretty damn good.
Trujillo, I got you. Hey, great job. Really appreciate you hopping on. And, of course, Mariano, Fox Sports soccer analyst. He's calling the 2018 FIFA World Cup Russia matches with Jorge Perez Navarro. Not bad either, right? That was easy, though.
Rolling the R's,
Navarro.
Too.
I mean, his Americans named Navarro, you know? Navarro Bowman.
That's a good point.
Thanks a lot, Mariano. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you. My pleasure, guys.
Take care.
You got it. You got it.
Trujillo.
Sounds sophisticated.
You got to roll your R's.
You got to roll the R's. You got to run Trujillo. Like, I used to love Spanish conjugations. I really did.
Too. It's pretty you know what's crazy, actually. Though? I took Spanish in high school. That was my language. You'd have to take one in high school.
Yeah, same here.
I took it my first 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Didn't take it my senior year.
Okay.
So then you had to take the ACT.
Yeah.
Right? Just for placement. I got a scholarship. I was obviously going to college. But I had to take a placement test, the ACT, for college. I was completely lost. I lost
after
it.
After 3 years?
After 3 years, I lost it in a year. It
Come
was
on.
I just couldn't look at it. I could speak it. I could say
the
things.
Gotcha.
I couldn't
What, did you
see
forget
it.
The words or the conjugation the fluency?
Not the fluency, because I could talk it. Like,
okay.
I could understand when people would talk Spanish. And,
yeah.
You know, I could even speak it a little bit. Uh-huh. But I couldn't read and comprehend. It was the weirdest thing.
So you did the opposite. So you took 3 years out of the shoot and then nothing your senior year.
Nothing my senior year, and I didn't have to take it in college because I went to a science. I went to the engineering school, and then actually the commerce school is also a bachelor of science instead of art. So I didn't have to take a language, so I kind of got lucky because I was lost.
You want to really get messed up? Take a Latin, like I had to take Latin my freshman year in high school. And then I transitioned to Spanish. I remember saying, Dad, I want to take Italian. I want to take Germany. My high school offered quite a bit. French, he's like, no, you're taking something. And I could say this because I'm half Italian. You're taking something useful. You're going to take something that you can practically apply in the United States. You're taking Spanish, and I'm happy I did. All right, football at the 40s coming up. We'll do 5 o'clock hour, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, all hoops. I mean, sleepers, overrated, best offensive. Highest ceiling, lowest floors, possible MVP candidates, franchise, all-throughs, and all that stuff. 1-855-212-4227. That, of course, is our number. It's brought to you by Geico. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So we'll get that after the update from Jay Bourbon. Jay is on deck right now. Here he is.
What's up, all you guys out there who like podcasts and those that podcast? I do one. It's called Tiki's Barbershop. You should go check it out on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. It's brought to you by Geico. Here's a tip for you. Great news. You can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Nice, Teak. Can I tell you this? So, real quick before we get to football at the 40. So, Monday was the surgery, right?
Yep.
And I didn't know. I think it might be a relatively new, not that it's a law, but a certain a code of a guidance, a guideline at hospitals here. So years ago, Jen and I were first married. So this was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a procedure on my nose, right? Not cosmetic surgery, but I got hit when I was playing, whatever. So my septum was deviated. And she comes in. and I'm still out of it. And she's got the phone rolling, right? And she's messing around with me. And she goes, so what'd you do on at your bachelor party, right? Now, yeah, I didn't do anything. Yeah. Except I had a good time, but it was, you know. And she tried to mess around again on Monday. And they're like, no. 2 hours until after the anesthesia.
No cell phones?
She couldn't come see me.
Wow, well, really?
Well, if you just think about this, right? If you have surgery and you're out, like not a local anesthesia, but a full thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
you wake up groggy.
You shouldn't have any conversations of significance or import. And I mean, thankfully, our marriage dynamic is good. Yeah, but I mean, imagine like if you're in a bad place and your wife is like, I'm going to get him now, or vice versa, or whatever. I mean, you got to protect the patient.
Hey, thank you,
think
Doc.
Think about that.
Good looking out, Doc.
I'm like, Doc, there
appreciate
you go, brother.
Give you a bonus.
Yeah, just don't ask me about Myrtle Beach, honey. No, just kidding. I was so laid up in Myrtle Beach, I couldn't even play golf. All right, so we'll do football at the 40s here in a second. Now, we've got to get to the Kawhi stuff. Mm-hmm. I know Stephen A. said this morning that he has learned that, and when Stephen A. said this, means he got this from Kawhi's people. So I certainly believe this to be true.
Kawhi needs to speak, for Christ's sake.
Kawhi ain't speaking.
I know.
Kawhi's going to speak at his next team's press conference. That's the next time I'm going to hear from Kawhi Leonard.
It's frustrating. It's hard to like be on his side when he doesn't say anything. And he has intermediaries always leaking out information just to – It's childish. Be a man. Stand up. Say what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Or say whatever it is you want. But I am glad that he did talk to Pop.
He did.
Because it felt like for a long time he was dodging him.
Mm-hmm.
I think and even that was one. Maybe that was a leaked report also, that he was dodging getting together with Greg Popovich. But they finally did out in San Diego a couple of days ago.
Yeah, Pop had to go up to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Pop had to go see him.
And he said, I want out.
Yeah. But the story that emerged from that meeting in California is that Kawhi said, I'm out. I just don't want to play here anymore. So it obviously opens up, as we get back to the draft conversation next hour, which Tiki and I will, you know, just how pressing. I mean, do they need to engage teams tonight? I mean, with Kawhi, there's a lot going on, so we'll get to it. Got a big hour coming up at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, so we're fired up for that.
But
football, the boys pretty juicy as well.
So
you ready to roll?
Give you football every day. It's football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney. On CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, this is an interesting story. A bunch of players have responded to President Trump's request for the names of people that he should pardon. Earlier this month, as we know, obviously Donald Trump is very outspoken on this topic about the player protests and everything pertaining to the anthem. On Thursday, four of the players, Doug Baldwin, Anquan Boldin, former players as well, Malcolm Jenkins and Benjamin Watson, they had an op-ed piece of the Times, and pretty interesting exchange.
Yeah.
They want to see a little bit more, but there's certainly, I don't know if this is a thawing in the mistrust or whatever, but it's an interesting step in a very interesting direction,
well,
I think.
Well, it's interesting because I think we've heard our president speak. Sometimes he just speaks just to say something, to respond, and doesn't necessarily think about it. And so when he, I don't want to say it was flippant, but I think he was serious, but he says, give me some names of pardons. He wasn't actually saying, give me names that you think should be pardoned. And it was positioned that way by these guys in this op-ed, that there's so many. There's just a systematic injustice in this country, which is undeniable. You can't argue that. And the focus should be more on the underlying problem as opposed to specifically pointing out certain people to be pardoned, like Alice Johnson, who was pardoned a few weeks ago. And so it may be a thawing, but I feel like so much of this conversation gets lost in translations. Like someone says something before it gets to the intended recipients, it gets convoluted and distorted, and it's not productive. This may be a way towards production.
Could be. Here's a little excerpt from the piece in the Times. There's a quote. To be sure, the president's clemency power can be a valuable tool for redressing injustice, the letter stated. Just look at Alice Johnson, as Tiki referenced, 63 years of age, who was serving a life sentence for a nonviolent drug conviction until their sentence was commuted by President Trump. He should be commended for using his clemency power in that case. Then it goes on, but a handful of pardons will not address the sort of systemic injustice that NFL players have been protesting, and it goes on there. So, again, I don't know exactly what avenue this leads to, but it seems like for once it's at least going down a little bit of a different street.
Yeah, it's not a vitriolic response.
And that on many levels represents some progress. So this is certainly a story you and I will absolutely follow. See, this is a little bit of a surprise here, and I don't really know when this was actually passed. I'm not so sure that you do either, but the situation...
It's just not a rule.
It's not a rule. It's like a mandate, but it's not really backed up by anything substantial. I don't understand, but basically teams now are basically forced or strongly encouraged to report any allegations immediately. Mm-hmm. This pertains to Jameis Winston and others, so... In this new law and order universe of the NFL, I guess the onus is now even more directed on the players. If something happens, I guess go out and volunteer. That's what they're saying.
This is nonsense. Let's lay it out as it is. The commissioner can do whatever the hell he wants. That's what Deflategate told us. That's what all of these issues that have come up that guys have protested or have fought back against the NFL have shown. The commissioner can do whatever he wants. Ezekiel Elliott's the other example. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, with that being said, and they're now saying that Jameis Winston is likely to get a suspension for a 2016 allegation that he sexually assaulted an Uber driver, not because he did or did not do it, and mm-hmm. it looks like there is some doubt in that story, but because he and the team didn't report it.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the fact that whether he did it or not. Forget the fact that he was innocent of this. The fact that he didn't report it is going to lead to a suspension. Now, the only thing that why this makes sense is it goes all the way back to Ray Rice. Right? Ray Rice, we know what happened. He got into a domestic situation with his then-girlfriend, his now-wife, Janae, and nobody saw the tape. But if Ray Rice had gone and had a conversation with Commissioner Goodell and said, look, here's what happened. We actually got into a fight. I hit her. He would have handled it very differently, and the league wouldn't have had egg on its face. So it's like in response to that, the egg on the faceness that's happened in the NFL, they're retroactively putting in these protocols or processes that just don't exist.
As always, they're trying to figure it out as they go along, which leads to a lot of sloppiness.
You're right.
Here's an excerpt from the personal conduct policy, which states, quote, clubs and players are obligated to promptly report any matter that comes to their attention, though, for example, victim or witness reports, law enforcement, or media reports that may constitute a violation of the policy here. There's a lot of language here. CBSSports.com, I want to jump on and really give it a lengthy read. It's interesting, but it's also confusing and a little confounding.
Well, you can tell them, but you're going to suspend me for not telling you? I mean, it's private.
And how are the Bucks? I mean, because the Bucks weren't in the Uber with Jameis Winston. They don't know what did or what did not happen.
How
is the onus on the Bucks? You're going to say it's on the player?
You're right.
Even though I don't know how you grandfather this in, to your point.
Yeah.
Confusing.
It very much. Especially, it's this guy's private life. It didn't happen at the facility. It's not in his realm as a football player in the National Football League.
Mm.
It's interesting where this is going to go.
All right, prayers up. We're sending them to Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
Follow-up surgery today. The Hall of Fame quarterback, as obviously he's had a lengthy cancer battle with cancer. This back in 2013 at the jaw. He's 58 years old. He was diagnosed and discharged from the hospital in April, returned to Buffalo. And listen, this guy is made of iron and steel. He is an absolute beast. And I know he doesn't look incredibly healthy in the picture we're seeing. He doesn't look like Jim Kelly there, but I would not bet against this guy. Jim Kelly is tough as nails.
Prayers to Jim
God
Kelly.
Bless
that's
you,
all
brother.
You can say here. This is a scheduled follow-up surgery, so that's the one positive thing. It's not something new. But prayers obviously go out to Jim Kelly and his family.
Beast. This was interesting. And maybe if you don't think Richard Sherman can still play, all right? And I'm not so sure that he can, especially coming off a ruptured Achilles.
Coach.
He's pointed out some things that coaches should point out. He saw a little potentially fatal flaw in Jimmy Garoppolo's delivery. Basically, when his hand is off the ball as he drops back and his hand, he's going to let it go. When his hand is on the rock, he's going to give it for a handoff.
Yeah.
So he's encouraging Garoppolo to mix it up because he's becoming predictable right now.
No, it's one
good
thing. You can watch it here if you're watching the video on CBS Sports Network. Anytime Jimmy Garoppolo gets ready to throw the ball, he taps it. Right? He taps it before he's getting ready to throw it. So there needs to be uniformity in what you're doing. Before you let it go, you either got to hold it fully and then let it go, or keep your hand off of it and then let it go. But you watch it. You just saw it right there. You could see it. He pulls his hand off the ball, taps the ball, and that's when he lets the ball go. Really good defensive backs will read that, telegraph it, and break on the routes that receivers are running in front of them.
Easily correctable. I don't think this is very dissimilar. You see pitchers do this a lot they have the hole in their glove.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to throw something soft or something secondary, generally the index finger either is straight or they give it away. There's a way that they could give it away with their pitches. So
you, Darvish?
Yeah, you just have to be aware of it, and then you have to delete it.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
And the number one jersey in the NFL bestseller is...
Saquon Barkley.
The guy who's going to bust up Tiki in the record book.
Got to play Saquon. For a long time. He can probably do it in like 6 years. He's got to stay healthy.
He's got to stay healthy, no doubt. Hoops draft next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.